arrived. Praise the Lord for that. And then we, you know, I pressed the button, and he says, well, these printer cartridges aren't HP compatible, so we're not responsible for any damages that is, you know, we're not going to be paying for any warranties, basically, issues. But anyway, we'll go ahead and pray and get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this book of John, and we thank you for the Bible, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for sending your son to die for us, Lord. What a marvelous thing. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And we're not going to really know how marvelous it is until we actually get to heaven to see what the reality of everything is. And it's just hard to comprehend here, even though you paint a pretty good picture throughout your words. And Father, we pray now that our hearts, our eyes, our ears would be in tune to them today, and we pray for those that are teaching at the nursing home ministries today, preaching there, and we pray for Pastor as he teaches this morning, and Brett, and also Brother Joe and the youth group, and Father, we just pray that you would just help us just to be mindful to your words and have a heart for them, for Christ's sake, amen. Last week we did a brief overview of the book of 1 John, and we started going through verse 1. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Again, John starts off the book of 1 John talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what's happening here is that the Holy Ghost is moving John to talk about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in 2 Peter first number 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so John is being led by the Holy Ghost to say these things and to write them down, folks. And in John 15:26, it says, but when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and he shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And so the Holy Ghost is testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so is the Apostle John here. And that was a promise given back in the Gospel of John. And so okay, in the Gospel of John, John starts off speaking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as well, just like he does here in 1 John. He starts speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ having been eternally present with God the Father. John also shows in the Gospel of John how Jesus is the Word. And not only that, but that he was the instrument. He was the instrument by which all things were created. Let's look in the Gospel of John here. The Bible says, in the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Okay? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And so, verse 14, and the Word, capital W, the same as he was talking about in the beginning of the verse, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, in eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ was with the Father. And that Lord Jesus Christ was made manifest in the flesh. That's God manifest in the flesh, okay? And that Lord Jesus Christ created all things visible and invisible. And God the Father used the Lord Jesus Christ to do that. The Lord Jesus was that instrument. Okay? Look, if you would, in Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I still have to do that. I mean, thank God that we memorize Bible verses, Bible chapters in order, you know. Colossians 1:16, the Bible says, for by him, okay, we'll go in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. We know this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. For by him, who? By the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Okay? And in the Gospel of John, John shows you that the Lord Jesus Christ, as God, he shows you him as God, and but further proof of this, that God the Father used Jesus Christ to create everything. He did. He was the instrument. Look, if you would, in Ephesians. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verses 8. I think it's there. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And so there we see, Jesus Christ is the instrument that God uses to create everything. All right? And again, in the Gospel of John, John shows you that he shows you the Lord Jesus Christ as God. As God. And he shows you his divinity, that he is God. And that Jesus Christ is God. Now this is the first thing that John shows you. It's the first thing. And then later on in the book, you're going to find that John shows you some other things in the gospel. That's the Gospel of John. And that is his Jesus Christ discourses, or his communications with his disciples. And you find that in John 13, in John 14, chapter 14, John chapter 15 and 16. And not only that, though, but John shows you the miracles. He shows you, he talks about the miracles that Jesus Christ performed, such as changing the water into wine. John 2. He heals the lame. He heals the lame in John chapter 5. He heals, or he feeds the 5,000. About 5,000. There's more there. We know that there's more there. But there's about 5,000. That's found in John 6. He heals the issue of blood, the woman with that issue of blood for 12 years. And couldn't get rid of it and spent all that she had. Gone, right? Immediately gone. John 9, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. He does. He raises the dead. John chapter 11. And so John shows you the miracles. And not only that, but he also shows you that Jesus Christ was a real man. He was a real man, a human. As that song said, he was a human being, folks. He was human. And now as you read this first verse in the first epistle, first general or epistle general of John, you're going to find out some things. The Bible says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, would match, that which was from the beginning, right off the bat, would match the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says he shows you in the Gospels of John that Jesus Christ is God. That which was from the beginning, that matches the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we have heard, would match the discourses that Jesus had with his disciples, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, would match the disciples beholding Jesus as he performed his miracles, and our hands have handled, would match the humanity of Christ. Physically, we're able to touch this Jesus. And so when you look at all of this evidence in the Gospels of John, or in the Gospel of John, and you compare that with what is written in just the first verse of 1 John, it's quite amazing that anybody would say that John didn't write that book, right? And so we can look at that and compare these scriptures and look at these similarities between the two and come up with a determination that, hey, John is one of the writers here. He's one of them. And he might be the only one, but it does say we there. It does say we in the book of John. But so it's ludicrous to think that Jesus Christ didn't write that, or that John didn't write the book. It really is. There's too much evidence to the contrary. And so the scholars, do we want to believe the scholars on this, or do we want to look at the Bible and make that determination? So I think we can make that determination and say that John is the writer based upon the evidence of that we've just seen. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning of what? It looks like this is the beginning of time. That's what it looks like. The beginning of time as we know it anyway. Look if you would in Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So at some point, when the heaven and the earth was created, that is when the beginning starts. That's what it seems like. Now, is this the beginning of God? No, I don't think it is. I think it's the beginning when he started his creation. He was already in existence before he created the heaven and the earth. And so this is what it looks like. It's the beginning when God created the heaven and the earth. In John 17:5, you find that the Lord Jesus Christ was here before the world was. John 17:5. The Bible says, "And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Before he created anything, God existed, and so did Jesus Christ with his Father. And so the beginning here, what it seems to be that it's the beginning of the time when Jesus Christ created the heaven and the earth, okay? And the Bible says, 1 John, back in 1 John, which we have seen. What you have here is the apostles, they go to see the Lord Jesus Christ. They got to see him. And we don't get to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Not here, not now. We don't get to physically look upon Jesus Christ and handle him physically. Not like the apostles did. The only thing that we get to see of Jesus Christ is in the Word of God. They got to physically see him. And Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are they that have not seen, right, and believe. Blessed are they, yet they believe. John 20:28. Thomas is he's coming to Jesus, and Jesus, he wasn't there with the other apostles, and it seems like he's doubting here, right? They call him Doubting Thomas. And what does Jesus say? And John 20:28, verse 27, then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faultless, believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And so if you've believed in Jesus Christ today, you're blessed. You're blessed. And any blessing that you're going to get from God, folks, any at all, it's going to have to be by faith. It's going to have to be by faith. And that is why he asked the question in Luke 18:8. Jesus Christ asked this question. He said, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? That's referring to his second coming. Is he going to find any here with any faith? Any of them, any believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he going to find it when he shows up? And we know from the scriptures that he is going to find some. There is going to be some people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that have faith in him. And here in the book of 1 John, what John is referring to here is his ministry. Jesus Christ's ministry on the earth, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John is talking about the apostles and with Jesus Christ during his ministry. And when that's when they fished with him, and then when they ate with him, and when they talked with him, and everything else that they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about here. And this is the physical. While Jesus Christ is on the earth. Now there are two instances that's recorded in the Bible where Jesus Christ invites, he gives an invitation for somebody to come and touch him after he's been crucified. Now he talks to Mary at the tomb. He says, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, right? Because she was probably just going to come and grab onto him and start crying and just hold on to him. Because she was happy to see him. And he had to tell her not to touch him. But there's two other times where he invites somebody to touch him, and that's with his apostles. The first invitation is found in Luke 24:40. The Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honey. And he took it. And he said, okay. I thought he said, behold my hands and feet. Verse 39. That it is I myself. Handle me. There's the invitation. And see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. That's the first invitation. That was to his disciples. Now Thomas doesn't appear to be there at this time. And so then second invitation was to Thomas. And we just read about that in John 20:28. First John. Chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible says, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. Now, when you read through the verses, starting from 1 and going through 3, you should see the connection here. And that is that that the life of Jesus Christ was manifest. Not only that, but that Jesus Christ is eternal life. He is eternal life. Let's read it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our eyes and our hands have handled, of the word of life, for the life was manifested. Right? The life of Christ. That's what he did. That's what he said. That's how he treated people. That was manifested. Not only that, the Bible says, and we have seen it. They walked with him for 3.5 years, the apostles. They saw this. They saw that Jesus Christ never committed a sin. Right? They saw how he treated people, how he had compassion on the multitudes, how he healed people. And they heard what he said when he taught in the temple. And they heard all the great things that he said to these apostles. And yet they didn't understand a lot of it, not until later when Jesus Christ opens up the scriptures to them. But they heard this stuff. And the Bible says, bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Right? It's talking about Jesus Christ. Well, you know what that means to you and I? That means that if you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is eternal life. He is eternal life. 1 John 5, a couple pages over. 1 John 5:12, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. How? If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. Why? Because Jesus is eternal life. He is eternal life. Now, the apostles, they didn't realize that Jesus was eternal life until after he rose from the dead. Okay? They knew he was the Son of God, and that with power after he rose from the dead. Look, if you would, in Romans. It's right there. Romans 1, verses 1. The Bible says, Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he has promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. There it is again. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Apostles didn't know that Jesus Christ was eternal life until he rose up. And then he's going up to sit on the right hand of the Father. He's eternal life. He's eternal life. Then they figured it out. But not until Jesus showed them. But if there was no resurrection of Jesus Christ, all that could have been manifest would have been his earthly life, folks. But because he was resurrected, what's manifest is he is eternal life. And he always was eternal life. And now people see this resurrection, they see Jesus Christ, and it's made manifest that he is eternal life. He is eternal life. Why? Why wouldn't there be any evidence, or why wouldn't there be any manifestation if he didn't raise from the dead? Because he wouldn't have been able to show the apostles anything. Look, if you would, in Luke 24:40. He wouldn't have been able to show them anything about the scriptures concerning himself if he didn't raise from the dead. Look, Luke 24:40. I'm glad I didn't say Luke 25, because there is none. Luke 24:40. The Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honey, and a honeycomb. And he took it. I don't know if you've ever eaten honey right from the beehive. But I'm going to tell you what, man. It just makes you want. I mean, it's hard work going through these beehives, especially when you got a suit on, okay? You got the helmet on, and it's 80, 90 degrees outside, and you got to go in there when the sun's up. Because if you don't, all these little worker bees are in there, and they got stingers, and they'll sting you. They'll sting right through the suit sometimes. Because I only wear, I wear a dress shirt, a white one. But they'll sting right through. They'll find any little hole, and they'll get in there. And once they do, all the other ones will get into that hole. Because it releases some kind of pheromone where all the other ones want to get a stinger on you. And you ever see the cartoons where the bee chases Tom or Jerry or something? They go into the river, and he's got the straw, and the bees look like they... They get them. But anyway, great stuff. Great stuff. I don't know why I got off on that. But he took it in and did eat before them. The Bible says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Concerning me. And the Bible says in verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Know Jesus Christ coming up from the grave? No understanding of the scriptures for the apostles. They wouldn't have got it from them. And so, now don't forget that the apostles were Jews. And they needed to see a sign of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to confirm the word that he spoke unto them. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 16. They needed to see the sign. They were Jews. Don't remember, Jews require a sign. Is it require or seek after? I know the Gentiles seek after knowledge. But the Jews, they need this sign to confirm the word. Matthew 16, number verse 4. You guys got there before me. Shouldn't have gave the other one. The Bible says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. There's these people who are seeking after a sign. Well, he's going to give them one. He says he's going to give them one, the sign of Jonas, the prophet. What is that sign of Jonas the prophet? There was a sign yet to be given by Jesus Christ, and that is found in a few chapters earlier, Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. The Bible says, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's the sign. And so just as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, and he got to come up, right? He got to come up from the dead, and he got to go preach to Nineveh. So Jesus Christ will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and he's going to get to come up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And so you find here, and then the word is confirmed after a sign to a Jew. That's found in Mark 16. Matthew, Mark, chapter 16, verse 20. The word is confirmed by signs. By signs. Matthew 16, Mark 16, 20. There is a Mark 16, right? There is a 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. That's the apostles. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. That's what they were preaching. Where did they go first? Jerusalem and Judea, right? Jews require a sign. They need that sign to confirm the word. And so do the apostles. Why? Because they're Jews. They're Jews. And so Not only did the apostles see that Jesus was who he said he was through this, through that sign, but they saw that he was the eternal life, and it was manifested by the sign of the resurrection. All right? They saw that. And just as the apostles seen this life of Jesus and bear witness and show unto you eternal life and give witness unto you about the life of Jesus, so every Christian is to take what God has shown you and manifest to you, or manifest to you, and we're to take that to the world. And a Christian is to take what he's been shown to the world and show the world that Jesus Christ is eternal life. Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3:16. One of the greatest doctrinal verses on deity in the Bible. 1 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. How was God manifest in the flesh? He was in the body of Jesus Christ. God prepared a body for Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. And Jesus Christ came into that body. That's how he was manifest in the flesh. Okay? There's no perversion there. That's just what the Bible says. There's no intermingling with marriage or none of that stuff. God prepared a body for the Lord Jesus, and that's where Jesus went into. Okay? And so God was manifest in the flesh. He was in the body of Jesus Christ. Now think about it for a moment. God was manifest in the flesh. He walked on the earth. All that stuff, right? How is God manifest in the flesh today? How is he? He's manifest in the flesh. What's called the body. The body, or the church. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. 27. Talking about Christians, people that are saved. The Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You realize every one of us, if you're saved, makes up a little piece of Jesus Christ? Right? So how is God manifest in the flesh today? He's manifest in the flesh through a Christian. Through a Christian. Somebody that has believed on him. And so just as Jesus Christ was manifest, he manifests God to his generation by what he said, by what he did, by what he, his actions toward his fellow man, right? So if we will behave ourselves according to 1 John, as he's going to lay out, we can manifest God to this generation, right? God manifests in the flesh. We can manifest God to this generation. And so, now doctrinally, again, 1 Timothy 3:16 is one of the greatest verses on deity, and if we overlook the practical things, we're going to miss the admonition that John gives us here in this book. And so doctrine is good, and but we're not to overlook the practical, to keep our doctrinal, right, to hold on to the doctrinal and miss the big picture here, and that's what he's trying to tell us here. What's the mystery of godliness? That if you and I will live godly, I'm not talking about bringing the law into salvation. If we will live godly, then God can manifest himself through us to this world, and the world can see that, hey, Jesus Christ is eternal life, and he's the one that offers it. He's the one that is eternal life, and the only way you get it is to have Jesus Christ. You've got to make him yours. You've got to make him yours. And the only way you do that is by believing in him. And we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this great responsibility that we have as Christians to live a holy life pleasing to you, so that we can manifest God to the dying, unsaved world. And Father, we pray that we would just have a heart to do so, and we pray these things for Christ's sake.